There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to the Katz Report on the radio. This is John Katzlamidis. I write the Katz Report in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, the news magazine that comes out on Sunday, except on the event, it comes out on Saturday and sometimes Monday. Joining me this week is a repeat guest and a good buddy of mine. He is the founder of Spiegelworld, the company that produces the hit show Absinthe at Caesar's Palace. It's at the tented venue at Roman Plaza. The show is celebrating its fifth anniversary this week. And here to talk about that show and what else he's got going on is the impresario himself, Ross Mollison. How you doing, Ross?
I'm great, John. How's it going?
Never better, sir. You're at an undisclosed location on the Strip right now, right?
Yeah.
And
hanging out
down
and recovering from an amazing night last night.
A lot of pasties.
And a lot of
free flowing champagne and a lot of money being thrown around by your friend the gazillionaire.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes he's cheap, sometimes he let loose, and a party is a good excuse to let loose.
He's like a Vulcan; he goes crazy every few years, right?
Absolutely.
Tell us about Ross. You know, the show has celebrated 5 years. As a pretty much a you can, it's an unqualified hit. I don't think there's any way you can any other way to describe Absinthe. It was it got off to what was supposed to be a 6 month start out there at Caesar's Palace and has been rolling right along. How do you today explain the success of the show after this much time on the Strip?
Really, we just got lucky.
Really,
you know, none of us really had any idea what we're doing. We didn't know the market at all. And we just produced the best show we could and threw it up and see if it stuck. And I think we just had so many, after a few years in New York, we'd had so many wild ideas that had succeeded, also many, many, many ideas that had failed, that by the time we got down to Vegas, we'd worked out exactly what we wanted to do, and we pitched it, and an appropriate pun given that we're in a tent.
Yep.
We pitched it to Gary Selesner, and he really let us do what we want to do. And that's kind of a unique thing in Vegas. Usually, a lot of times, you know, the projects that happen here are a compromise of many parties. And but, you know, Gary was enormously supportive, and Caesars were supportive, and let us, follow through with a gazillionaire's crazy dream.
Talk about Ross, if you would wind us back to the period of time before you even got to the point of Caesar's Palace and Caesar's Entertainment and that partnership. This show was headed elsewhere originally, wasn't it?
Correct. You know, we did 3 years in New York at the Pier 17 at the South Street Seaport, out in a little pier there, and we at the end of the third year did a deal to open at the Fontainebleau, and we were going to be the opening entertainment there in 2009. It was an amazing deal. I think it was a 15-year with a 10-year option, 25-year deal. And
wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, we did it with Jeffrey Soap's company, who was the lead person on that project, and we were super excited. We were coming to Vegas. We were building out a room in what was going to be a brand new 4,000-room property. And I have absolutely no doubt, knowing the history of what has happened for Absinthe since it opened here, that we would be an enormous hit at the Fontainebleau. I think what they were proposing for that site was going to be amazing. It would have reinvigorated the north end of the street. And unfortunately, their lead lender was Lehman Brothers, who went into liquidation in 2009.
Mm-hmm. Early 2009, right.
I like to think through no fault of theirs. They'd operated in good faith with us. Unfortunately, we lost our deal.
Yeah.
And so we had to circle back around and say, well, what else can we do? And after 2009, you know, nothing was happening in Vegas. And nothing was happening anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you know, Caesars were kind of like, well, if you're crazy enough to want to do something new in Vegas in 2011, go ahead. And I think that also gave us the breathing room to launch, you know, with plenty of oxygen because there wasn't a lot of happening. And so you and your friends in the Fourth Estate gave us a hell of a lot of attention and were, by and large, very complimentary. And that gave us the opportunity to get a leg into the market.
Yeah, you mentioned... You've mentioned the entry point of the show, and it was a. I was going back and looking over some of the stuff I've written from the beginning of the show and before it even got here. You know, as we started hearing about absinthe, and it's been quite a. It's been very suspenseful, this show, in its development. There's been a lot of changes, a lot of stuff going on, and it has survived many changes in the production, and many other shows have come and gone. Since Absinthe opened, you know, one of the things that I think, Ross, in looking at Absinthe, is the venue itself. And you talked about, you know, originally the way the show has been staged, especially compared to how it was envisioned for a place like the Fountain Blue. Is it a different show inside the tent than it would have been? Because that was a kind of a proper theater, if I'm not mistaken, that the Fountain Blue had planned for you guys, right?
Well, they'd started, originally, I think they did it. They were doing a deal with either Live Nation or AEG, someone like that, to create a 3,000 or 4,000 seat theater. And they started building that, and then for whatever reason, that deal didn't proceed.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back to us and said, "Well, what can you do? This is how much we've built," which is pretty much what you see when you drive past at the moment. I mean, I've got photos of me standing in that theater, many photos, and
right.
So we designed, we basically took the idea of, you know, the Forum Shops, you know, we were going to design an outdoor venue inside, and we were going to build a tented structure inside on the floor of the venue and then use the what would have been the balconies for other purposes, for dressing rooms and things like that.
Right.
And so we got to it early enough to stop that and still build I think our plan was a 600-seat venue there. Mm-hmm. May have been 700 seat venue there, with an outdoor garden,
right?
Which would have been it was an incredible conceit. It was going to be like a ruins that you came through and a mysterious entry. It was a really fabulous plan.
Yeah,
they were great partners because when we said, "Well, we want to do all this," and with it, you know, I'm this crazy Australian, and when I say crazy, you know, like I probably sounded pretty crazy. I wasn't saying it in a complimentary sense. But, you know, they said, okay, we want to really go with your ideas. That's how it would have been there. But, you know, that was a $70 million room that we were building in. And our budget was, you know, it was something like $15 million to fit out the show. So, you know, of course, come to 2009, 2010, getting $15 million to go into a $70 million space, it's just that wasn't going to fly.
Right.
So, We decided let's put up a tent in front of Caesars.
Right.
And actually, the first meeting I ever had was in Caesars with about 2006 with Scott Schechter, who was the entertainment director.
Yeah, I knew Scott. Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Yeah, I don't think it's really our speed. You know, I don't think our corporate would go for it." Come 2011, we did a deal with him.
Right.
So,
I remember that whole process. Yeah, I remember Scott,
yeah,
too. Well, we're going to do a quick break here, Mr. Impresario, and allow our movie critic, Josh Bell, to chime in with a review of Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, and then I'm going to be back with Ross Mollison of Spiegelworld and Absinthe, celebrating its 5th anniversary at Caesar's Palace, so stick around. I know we will.
Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
Civil liberties are being trampled on in your city. Good people living in fear.
Don't believe everything you hear, son.
I've seen it, Mr. Wayne. He thinks he's above the law.
That's Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne and Henry Cavill as Clark Kent in Batman vs. Superman: Dawn of Justice. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Starting with its ridiculous title, this superhero epic is bursting with overwrought self-importance, determined to thrust its deadly seriousness on its audience by any means necessary. All of the empty bluster obscures how little actually happens in the power struggle among heroes Batman and Superman and villain Lex Luthor, played by Jesse Eisenberg. The filmmakers cram so many characters and incidents into the movie that it ends up horribly disjointed. It's like an entire TV season condensed into a chaotic highlight reel, simultaneously way too long at 2.5 hours, and not nearly long enough. I give Batman vs. Superman: Dawn of Justice 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the belated comedy sequel My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, reuniting stars Nia Vardalos and John Corbett.
There's Paris.
If she goes to Northwestern, she'll stay in Chicago.
Please, oh please, let's go over there.
No.
Right.
Did you invite the family?
I told my ma.
14 years after the original surprise hit, Vardalos' Tula and her overbearing, stereotypical Greek-American family return for more cheesy, predictable, sitcom-level hijinks. What once had a certain unique perspective has become just another tired brand extension with no reason to exist other than to exploit its audience's nostalgia and goodwill. I give My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Cats Report on the radio. With us this week is Ross Mollison, the founder of Spiegelworld, the producer, the co-producer, actually, of Absinthe at Caesar's Palace. So you guys are still in a partnership with Base Entertainment, right, on the Plaza?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
And I want to ask you a little bit about the content of the show. We talked a little bit earlier about how the corporate minds of Caesars Entertainment or any other major resort company in the resort industry would maybe have a problem with a lot of the content in Absinthe. It's a very raunchy show. It's a very adult circus cabaret that hits pretty much every demographic somehow. Was that a concern of yours, and how were you able to overcome, if that was a concern, that quality of the show?
Yeah, look, it is a concern when you come to Vegas because, you know, the Gaming Control Board have regulations as to what you can and can't do. The majority of those are really to keep out certain industries off the strip that they don't want. They're not really to stop really great entertainment. And if you're producing a show that's great entertainment, they pretty much stay out of your way, but you know you can't have complete nudity, mm-hmm. and we did have in New York, which we could do in a pier on the East River. We could do pretty much whatever we wanted, but when you come to a licensed premises, you had to modify for that, and that was very easy to do, and you know Caesars were very supportive of that. And, you know they retained you know the right to not allow certain aspects of the show, and they've had certain comments and certain aspects of the show from time to time, but in at the end of the day, it didn't turn out to be a big deal at all. They pretty much approved what we want to do, and they approve of the fact that you know there's 5,000 people a week coming through, you know, a Caesar's property, who are raving about a show. So that's what they love.
Yes, of course, and you know, to have a show that does that kind of business is not easily achievable. As we've learned about Las Vegas over the years, it's tough to sell tickets in the city. Probably tougher now than ever. For those who want to be reminded about, or who maybe are uninitiated about Absinthe, this is a show that has a lot of acrobatics at the top, a lot of circus-like acts in it, a lot of aerial. We have two numbers from the Green Fairy, played by Melody Sweets. In the show, a high wire act near the end. It's about 10 feet off the surface from the frat pack. We have a 9-foot stage. The vision of this show, that's kind of the template of it. How do you keep advancing the show? What are the meetings like to advance Absinthe and keep it fresh in your company?
Well, you know, we sit around with a gazillionaire, and he usually gets you know pretty wasted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, tells us, you know, that he just wants more nudity and, you know, more sex in the show. And then we go away and we sort of ignore him and try and come up with something that we think will be actually entertaining. But, you know, that he'll approve of and that our friends at Caesars will approve of. You know, we travel the world a lot and see a lot of shows. And we that's one of the great parts of my business, which I get the most enjoyment out of. I saw Human Nature last night, which is, you know, friends of ours from Australia mm-hmm. who just launched their new show, Jukebox, which is just fabulous. You know, it's wonderful to see them, you know, branching out in a new direction in Vegas after the hit of their Motown show.
Mm-hmm.
In that beautiful room, they've got it so intimate. Everybody, you know, who loves the music and the harmonies of human nature will really love their new show.
Yeah, you've mentioned one of the real success stories in the city. And Wayne Harrison is a director of that show, who's also part of Absinthe Family. I saw him at rehearsals.
Correct.
Yeah. Uh huh.
And you know, former director of the Sydney Theatre Company, which Kate Blanchett has been the artistic director of for a while now. So you know, I think. You know, we see a lot of things, we talk about a lot of stuff, and then ultimately we try and come up with things that we think are new, and we, appropriate them in a way that we think fits for what an audience wants to see in Vegas.
I've always felt, Ross, on this point, that you're one of the great recruiters of talent that I've seen in this city. You know how to get available talent on that stage somehow. What is that process like? How do you scout and recruit acts for Absinthe?
Well, you know, one of the great fallacies in the minds of artists who work in entertainment around the world is they probably wouldn't enjoy living in Las Vegas. And I give them a rock solid guarantee that if after 4 or 8 weeks they decide they don't want to live here, I'll let them out of their contract.
Right.
And I say, but my experience is I've never had an artist who doesn't love living and working in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of our big pitches, is you're actually going to love this place. And one of the reasons is you're not moving every week to, another suitcase, another hall. And it's one of the biggest artist communities in the world.
Boy, you got that right.
They have 8 shows on, and Steve has a few shows, and, Venetian has a few shows. And so there's more artists who live here than probably any other city in the world, including New York.
Mm-hmm. Live artists, you're right.
Circus artists, that's true.
Yeah.
Probably not, musical twirlies. But in any case, that's one of our great pitches, is that you're going to love living here. And then I look for things that I find exciting.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to copy something I saw up the road at MGM or at... or that I think, that I see in New York. I'm looking for something that I think is going to be exciting and new, regardless of where you're from.
You've added an act that has been I first saw in this formation in Vegas Nocturne over at the Cosmopolitan's Rose Rabbit Lie showroom, and that is David O'Meara and the Bathtub Aerial Act. I don't know if that act has a formal title, but he's just come back into your strip empire in Absinthe. Why did you add that act to the show, and how
because
did you?
Because when he was in Vegas Nocturne at Rose Rabbit Lie at the Cosmopolitan, he was voted the sexiest man alive, kind of thing. And I just think he is. I think he's the most gorgeous, the most talented, male acrobatic act that is just great fun that can be appreciated by men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of their sexual persuasion. He is just hysterically fun and incredibly skilled, and he's gorgeous to watch. And, we first presented in New York in 2006, where he was an absolute sensation. And he's been in such demand that he's been contracted out for many, many years. And at Vegas, when he was doing Vegas Nocturne, he sort of said to me when it ended, he said, "Well, Ross, you were right. I do love Vegas. And if the opportunity did present itself, I'm contracted again out the wazoo for the next year or so, but if the opportunity presented itself, I'd love to work with you again." And when it did, we jumped at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, he's a great friend. He is an extraordinary artist. And he's one of the world's most interesting men. He loves nothing more than to jump out of a plane. He's absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah, you've got the another singularly impressive, if you can call twins singularly impressive, are John and Scott, the twin tappers, or Sean and John. I'm sorry, Scott, the twin tappers who have been in Vegas Nocturne also and in Absinthe. They're unique and they're very effective. What are there any other new things, new acts that you're looking at bringing to the show that you can tell us about? Any performers, numbers, anything, any tweaks now that you've passed the 5-year mark?
Yeah, we've got 2 new acts we're working on, and I don't want to talk about them just yet because they're not ready to be launched. But you'll be the first to know,
mm-hmm.
and They're absolutely, I think, going to be game changers. Absolutely fantastic acts. And, you know, it's a bit like, you know, that... It's a bit like that Apple sort of theory of you don't announce it until you've actually got it and mm-hmm. you're actually doing it. It's not saying talking about bringing the bath boy back. We brought him back and then we told everybody, you know. And the new acts are the same. You know, when they're ready, when they're been thoroughly vetted, when Gary Selesner has said, "Yeah, I like that too," then we'll tell you all about them and we'll launch them. We'll give them the launch they deserve.
You know, we've had
They're fantastic. We've got a couple of fantastic new acts. And I think the thing is that, you know, we get an enormous amount of repeat visitation to Addison.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice just to... People love a lot of what they've seen in the past, but it's nice to throw them a bone and they go, "Oh, I don't remember that."
Yeah. Well, I think I may have seen Absinthe more than anybody outside of the production, and certainly more than any other production show in Las Vegas. I'm towing 40 performances over the years for the show.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, for all the right reasons. You know, I see it when I have to, I see it when I want to, when I have people in town, they see it. I've taken a lot of people, including Myron Martin, the president of the Smith Center, to the show Thursday night. I've took Jerry Lewis to this show. He loved it. Was blown
away. That was
away
amazing night.
Yeah, that was a...
And he's become such great friends with Melody now.
Yeah, well, he liked... Wonderful. Yeah, they're tight, and he loved the... Sean and John, and you know the classics, and the Gaz and Joy, and it's been a really interesting evolution of Absinthe. What I've asked you about this before, Ross, in your fiefdom that is Spiegelworld, about spinning off and doing other things in Las Vegas. We've seen Vegas Nocturne, which was certainly an artistic success, if not a financial one over the course of time, but it was definitely well received. You've brought Never Sleep Alone to the Absinthe tent recently, the show we had Dr. Schiller on the program recently to test drive that show. Where are you about spinning off from Absinthe or bringing in new shows like NSA to Las Vegas? Where do we stand on that? Because this could be like the Norman Lear of production shows if you wanted to in Las Vegas.
Well, I think that's very kind of you to say that.
I've always felt that.
Thank you. I think the truth of the situation is, you know, there's no place for arrogance or assumption in being a producer in this market, and you constantly need to reinvent yourself as a producer, and that's why we're working on Never Sleep Alone, which we think is a great concept for Vegas. But, you know, and it's not until you get it down here and you present it, which we did a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and we were super excited about the response. One of the things we're really excited about is the show actually, in that week, with not a cent spent on marketing, grossed about $10,000, which sounds like nothing to the world. They go, "Well, that's nothing." But to us, that's like, yeah, that's a bite, you know?
That's three shows in the Absinthe tent, three performances, right? It did?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And the first two were basically invited houses. So it was really the third performance we sold the tickets to. And, you know, I go, wow, that's demand. You know, there's demand for that. You know, because it really took us 6 months to get Absinthe to break even. And with a new concept, a new show, and something that people know nothing about, it takes a while to ramp. So what we're doing with that is, and I'm pleased to announce on your show, is we're taking it back into New York. We're going to do three performances in August at the Public. We haven't even announced it in New York, but we're going to announce that shortly. And after we've done the performances in the Public, we want to bring it back down to Vegas.
And what are the options in Las Vegas for you right now? What are you looking at? Where, what kind of hotel, what kind of partnership are you investigating?
We've got a range of partnerships, and I can't, you know, we're to be honest with you, John, which I always am, I can't really talk about it now. Because I don't think we're really sure of exactly where the perfect place is.
Mm-hmm.
But we are firm believers that to have a successful show in Vegas, you need to have a perfect venue. Yeah. So we won't do it until we think we've got the perfect venue. And but we're looking at everything from putting it in a temporary structure to putting it in a room.
And what about, and that would be post the August run in New York. It would be after that.
Correct.
The earliest would be the
fall.
And
we really want to do the you know, the Vegas show in New York.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I get it. It was
which will be taking everything, all the feedback we got from what we did from the three shows here, from the property, and you know, there was a lot of casino folk who attended, executives who attended, and you know I talked to you about it, and mm-hmm. I talked to your colleague Robin about it, mm-hmm. you know, and we take it all back. We're all in the blender, and we see what comes out.
And as we wrap up here, Ross, the last real question about everything is absence as a touring show. We've had this conversation, and I've written about we toured Australia not long ago, and you've had ideas to bring it around either in the East or on the West Coast. Where do we stand with a touring version of Absinthe in this calendar year?
We've got some real potential. We've got some great offers to do it, and we're just deciding if it's right for the show.
Do you know where it would be?
Because again, it could be in Los Angeles, it could be in Philadelphia, it could be in San Francisco, you know, it could be in Miami. There's quite a number of possibilities, but we've got to look at we're a tiny company. You know, we have a very low we have a very small infrastructure, and so we want to make sure we've got the resources to do it. So it has to fit in with how we're spending our resources. I'll never sleep a lot. How we're spending our resources on Vegas Nocturne, which, you know, we're looking at doing another season of Vegas Nocturne again this year, probably somewhere like New York, and, you know, continuing to build on our work with that show last year.
Right.
And you know, so it may tour North America this year, but we're in no hurry. We feel like that's like our 1K. You know, that's in our back pocket. We think that'll be an enormous hit when we tour it. And, you know, we're just waiting for the right time to do that.
All right. Well, we'll be at the ready when you do have announcements on any of this stuff inside the Spiegel World empire. It's been a pleasure once again, Ross, to have you in town and to talk to you. And congratulations on the success of Absinthe, one of the great performances, great production shows we've had in Las Vegas. It performs nightly at Caesar's Palace, dark Mondays and Tuesdays. The show times are 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. And check it out again, because it's worth it. And Ross, it's a joy to talk to you, and I will see you soon. I promise you that.
Thank you, John. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and it's such a great privilege to have the support of you and all the proprietors of the many media that you work with. So thank you so much.
Anytime, sir.